You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Henday built.
For the first time since 06, the Oilers are back in the conference final. I know that for some people, like, geez, that's only 16 years ago. There's lots of teams that haven't even been there the last 5 years, and over half the league hasn't even been in the conference final in 10 years. Like, even a trip to the conference final is rare for most teams in the league.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's not like, I think we all, well, at least not everybody, but, I mean, when I became an NHL fan, there were 12 teams, you know, and then 14, and now we're at 32. So back then, getting to the, you know, the into the playoffs and then a winning round meant you were basically among the eight, you know, teams that was going to play, down to four, down to two. So there are fewer rounds, fewer wins required. Now it's like it's a real slog, and, you know, we always, at the beginning of the playoffs, we always say, well, you know, Edmonton has a really easy time with L.A. Well, they didn't. L.A. was really good. And then we say, you know, Calgary is going to be seven, and they'll be lucky, you know, to win, and it goes five. So we don't know. One thing I think we can say about this team that's different than any team since 06 is the coach is able to grab the attention of the team, and as, you know, you were talking to Mr. Woodcroft earlier, and say, look, you know, we need to do this better, or this has to be right, and that's fine. Coaches do that all the time. But what's different about this team is they seem to pay attention, buy in, and then follow the plot. And I'm no disrespect to any of the previous coaches that have been through here, but Woodcroft seems to have a communication ability along with, you know, the other coaches, to get whatever he needs through to the players. And I understand a lot of that is just commitment, but he has that. And maybe it comes from Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, or maybe it's Duncan Keith, you know, who's new in the room this year or whatever. But this team feels different to me. And the 06 team had that feel too, partly because of MacT, also partly because of Chris Pronger.
Yeah, I look at Edmonton, and I just, man, all you got to do is, like, when you look at past years, so Evander Kane and Zach Hyman have 18 goals combined in 12 games out. That's your difference from previous years for the Oilers. Like, I remember when people, and no offense, when people, oh, yeah, yes, Puljujärvi, top six forward. Not in production, he wasn't. That's top six forward production, right? And it's not a knock on him. It's just there's a difference between being a top six player and then a top six productive player. And, you know, Hyman and Kane, and it's not just their points. It's how Hyman plays. You know, Kane, Jay Woodcroft's like, hey, you know what? You're playing so well defensively against Tkachuk, and you're obviously in his head. Like, Tkachuk was, he was a ghost from games two to game five, right? Yeah. And, you know, you have a line that's dominating, and it takes courage from the coach to change that up when you're down 2-0. Sorry, 1-0 at the time when he changed it to start the first. But, and it worked. Right, like he pushed a lot of the right buttons at the right time, and you know, now we'll wait and see. Colorado, if they win tonight, then it'll be the Avs, likely starting on Tuesday. If St. Louis wins tonight, then it's going to be either one of the two, and it's going to start on Thursday, either in St. Louis or Colorado. Selfishly, I want the Colorado matchup. I think it's the most entertaining, but I actually think Edmonton has a better chance against them. The St. Louis Blues and the Minnesota Wild are the two teams that really how they play gives Edmonton trouble in their own zone.
Yeah, the Blues are tough. Like they're a rugged, tough team. They've got guys like O'Reilly and Perron. Those are veteran guys, and they, you know, they take a piece out of you, you know, every shift kind of thing. And by the end of it, you're in trouble. And they've done, you know, Kyrou is a really good young player. They've done well. Parayko is another guy there on the blue line. And you know, right now, Husso is a very good goalie. He has struggled a little bit. But if Binnington comes back, he was money. I think he might be the best goalie of the possible goaltenders that Edmonton will face in the next round. So, but your point about Kane and Hyman is so true. You know, when we talk about Yamamoto and Puljujärvi, they're very talented young players, but they're young players and they're not necessarily you know, ready to take on what you're going to see in any series, including the one we just saw in Calgary, when you're playing on high skill lines. And you know, the Oilers this year against the Calgary Flames, they had, you know, they moved Leon to right wing, and then they had Hyman and Kane and Leon and really strong wingers. And Nugent Hopkins, who people forget about, he moves into center, and he played really well. They finally have enough depth to be able to move around if there's an injury or a slump or whatever, and it's been a long time. And you know, I know when Peter Chiarelli got here, there was some urgency, and he traded a lot of futures, but that ran into some cap issues, and they still have cap issues. But I just think they have more really good players, and really good players who are either in the peak of their careers or just past their peak, and that has been a big difference. There's just when Draisaitl and McDavid and Kane go off the ice, then it's Hyman and Nuge and say Yamamoto or whomever. You know, they're better. They're deeper. They're better. And in this particular series, that top line just shredded everything.
Oh yeah, it wasn't. It was men against boys at times, which is crazy to think in the best league in the world. Al, there's lots of talk. I know you crunched the numbers on possession time, and Archibald obviously doesn't look great at this point. We had Jay Woodcroft on, and you know, I was asking about like what it would take for him to get Dylan Holloway in, and you know, he obviously he's not going to give me the exact answer, but he said, hey, you know what, I know the player, I understand him, you know, he's an option, and you know, mentioned Shore and other guys. You know, anybody who's playing 5 minutes is going to be difficult. So I want to say that if the new guy comes in, whether it's Shore or whoever, I think it's hard for any player to be decent in 5 minutes. But Woodcroft, and you saw Sean Durzi had shoulder surgery, right? That came from my understanding is that big hit that was laid out by Archibald late in or early in game seven was a major factor for that. So when you balance, I know we can look at the numbers and everything, and obviously you want guys who don't get outscored, completely valid, right? I think in the playoffs it's 2-2, you know, he's been outscored 2-4, maybe it's 2-5 now, I'm not sure. But how do you balance that when coaches firmly believe, and there's truth to the wearing down factor of physicality?
Well, you can see that. I mean, Archibald hit Cassian hard enough to knock him out of the game the other night, and then he went over and hit another guy. Here's the thing. He is 2-5 in the 11 games so far in the playoffs at 5-on-5 outscoring. But he's also playing basically an energy role. And, you know, since time began, and I you have to assume there are reasons. There are things we don't know, but veterans always are played ahead of rookies. Now, I would suggest to you that the next series, this is my opinion, nobody else's, but the next series is too important to put a rookie in unless you really plan on just playing three lines and a couple of extra guys, and you don't want Archibald for the penalty kill. But you have to have enough players on your team that if there's an injury, you can slide somebody up that you trust. And you know, as much as we talk about, I watched Dylan Holloway a lot in the AHL. He's excellent. He's fast. He passes extremely well, and he is absolutely going to have an NHL career. But you know, he hasn't played with whoever his line mates are going to be in the NHL very much. And coaches, generally speaking, they check down to what they know. And as much as that, as a fan, I'd love to see Dylan Holloway because he's new and he's fresh and he's exciting and, you know, he's part of the future and that's fun. I think you have to understand that the coaches, they have experience in these things, and they probably don't want to, more than giving Holloway the opportunity, which I'm sure everybody wants, they don't want to put him in a position where, you know, he's talking for the next, you know, 3 months and then in the fall about something that happened while he was on the ice. And we can say all we want that it won't, but I saw Steve Smith do something that he paid for in full and then some, and he was a young player. So it can happen, and you might keep Holloway out of the lineup just to protect him from something like that occurring.
Yeah, I probably tend to agree with you too, Al. You know, I see the people say, hey, well, it can't be any worse. And you know what? True. Because I look at Archibald, outside of the backhand pass in the offensive zone that, you know, that missed McLeod, I haven't seen him make egregious plays that lead directly to goals. Right? So when you're on the ice for goals against, yeah, I get that we're playing the numbers game and you say that it's not good, but then you have to show me the video that says, well, here's Archibald's mistake, boom, 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 and that's leading to goals against, right? Being on the ice is part of the conversation. It's not the entire one, especially in small sample size, right?
So, yeah, and that's, you know, I remember Cody Ceci at the beginning of the year, you and I talked about it, where he was, you know, I think he was on for like 5 goals in a row or something that were, you could say, well, that's not his fault, but there's still a minus, right? Yeah. And it's just he's in the wrong place. Puck goes off somebody's stick, ends up in the net. That's a minus. It happens. The chief issue for Archibald, I think, is penalty kill. And last night, I think he played a minute on the PK and didn't surrender any goals. I think that's right. And if he's penalty killing, if he's part of the penalty kill rotation, then I think he's going to play. He did not play any PK minutes the previous game. And that always tells me if a coach relies on a player, usually a fourth line guy like that for one of the special teams, remember James Neal was on the power play a year ago or whatever that was, that keeps him in the lineup because he can trust him to do that thing. Archibald's been a pretty consistent penalty killer through his when he's healthy, and certainly since he came back. So I think that's one of the main reasons why a coach would say, I'm going to keep Archibald in the lineup. And, you know, the other issue, and we never talk about it with regard to Holloway, but, you know, if Ryan McLeod were struggling, that might be something you consider for Holloway. But Ryan McLeod's had a hell of a series and a really nice run here, so he's not going anywhere. I think the Oilers have 9 forwards, and I know that people are mad a little bit at Fogel, but I like his game. I think those 9 forwards and Cassian, although I think he might be a little bit banged up now, and I know he got benched because of the stone shot that ended up getting tipped for a goal. But I think if Woodcroft, coaches always tell you what they're thinking by who they play, and yes. I think Woodcroft trusts Archibald and feels like he might need him on the penalty kill, and for that reason I think he probably stays in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm with you, Al. And a positive Friday for everybody who's a CFL fan is they actually get the games starting tonight for the green and gold, and then they'll have their home game next week. And I'm just happy to see these CFLers actually playing now.
Man, I it goes back so far for me. Like the CFL is you know pretty much on TV, you know, in Canada all the time. Like my from going back to when I was a kid and I used to go to the pool hall, the CFL would be on and I'd be watching it, and it's part of the furniture and it's the fabric, right? And so for us not to have, I understand. I love Canadians playing. I do. I love that part of it, and I want everybody to make money. And I'm always on the player's side because I know that they don't make as much as the NFL guys or other leagues. So you want that, but I'm just glad it's done. I hope everybody makes oodles of money, and I'm really excited about the Oaks this year. I think they're going to do really well.
Al, have yourself a great weekend. Who are the Oilers going to be playing next week?
It's going to be Colorado, and it's going to be fire. And we're going to see Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid on the ice in the same game. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Appreciate it.